You know, one of the nice things about being independent is that, you know, we're not under the thumb and control of those powers that are canceling information, that are rendering us stupid because we're not able to have open, reasonable conversations about questions that come up. I mean, this recent report here about the RSBN channel, I don't know if you've heard this, but the Right Side Broadcasting Network, boy, they're in trouble. They're put on timeout because they had the audacity. I'm going to bring Bruce Thatcher on here, the historian right now from History Speaks. Bruce, they had the audacity to transmit the speech of Donald Trump from CPAC. And, you know, a Google-owned enterprise said, no, no, you know, penalty flag, you're on timeout for 2 weeks for, you know, violating their rules that are ever-changing and outcome-based. Incredible, huh?
Well, their rules, you can't even see. You can go onto their website and see what some of the rules are, but their rules really are whatever we want to do.
Exactly.
They have Google and their related companies in Alphabet Inc. and other social media have their own agendas, and they're going to say, well, we're not going to carry anything that contradicts our agenda. And on the first surface, you say, well, let me see, they're not government, so the Constitution doesn't prevent them from doing that, and therefore, what are we going to do about it? But on the other hand, they are, they're enormous. Their power is enormous. They have the ability not to censor speech. They can't prevent Trump from saying something, or you and I for saying something, or sending a message of some kind. Well, I can't do part of that. Mm-hmm. But what they prevent is somebody from hearing
exactly
what we have to say.
Of course. Well, and we saw that clearly with Hunter Biden during the election. They squashed the story. They chose not to report. And you had a number of people, I don't know, roughly 15% of Democrats, and this is a round number, said that they would not have voted for Joe Biden were they made aware of the Hunter Biden story.
That incident, along with a research study showing that, is absolute proof of the power that social media has to control, to affect elections.
Exactly.
And they have it. It's unfettered at this point. Mm-hmm. I have friends. I have friends who were totally unaware of any of that going on.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing to me.
They simply didn't know anything about it.
Right.
And they're not ignorant people.
No.
The power of the social media and huge retailers like online retailers like eBay and Amazon is immense.
Mm-hmm.
It's more powerful probably than the power of the companies that that led to various antitrust actions, the Sherman and Clayton Antitrust Act and others. And yet their power over politicians is so great that attempts to change their status are and will be met with enormous resistance.
Yeah, they're just talking about it, but nothing is actually being affected.
No.
The thing that's ironic for me, I grew up in the broadcast industry where it was really, you know, the FCC, the government had controlled the influence that broadcast entities, TV and radio, newspapers, could have in any one market. Groups are, even to this day, stations, owners are, you know, relegated to a distinct amount of stations that they can have in particular markets. But here, they've allowed the social media oligarchs to run amok, and here it is. I mean, they are executing propaganda. They are limiting speech, as you say, maybe not blatantly, but subtly. And I mean, I say subtly, and that's only, you know, to play nice.
Yeah,
but the fact
subtly,
exactly. But you know, it's like even for the determination that they say that the Trump speech had violated their guidelines on election misinformation. I mean, this is the narrative: election misinformation. Well, to me, what they're putting out is election misinformation, because, you know, a good number of people, probably half the country, you know, according to Gallup and Rasmussen, still have questions. They're curious about the 2020 election. There are questions that they're asking that, you know, I guess in polite company, you're not supposed to ask.
Well, that's just one example, and one of the latest examples. You referred to the FCC. The Communications Act created the FCC, and back in the day, you couldn't. There was censorship. You couldn't say things on radio and television in terms of just the kind of language that would be used. The other flip side of the coin, of course, is you had to give fair coverage to opposing views on radio and television. Being totally unregulated, the major media, online media, don't have to give fair representation. I forget what the number is, Bill. I know you've heard the statistics, but among some groups, there are some demographics that get as much as 85% of all their news just
off social media. Exactly.
Off social media.
Yeah, exactly. Well over 70%, and it could approximate 85%, which is, you know, when you think about it, just on its face, the credibility itself, just in raw numbers, because if you did an analysis and said, okay, how credible are these resources, I think they would be astounded. But yet, up to 80% of their consumption of news is brought to them by a spurious outlet that has marginal credibility.
And the people who get their news from these medias in general don't consider the issue of credibility.
Right.
That's not a question. They don't consider depth. All they consider are sound bites and headlines.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an ideal social laboratory for showing how you can control the thinking and actions of people simply by inundating them with some kinds of messages, and in this case, more importantly, showing by what happens if you can prevent opposing messages or opposing points of view from ever reaching them, which is what they do. And they claim protection from Article 1 of the Constitution because they're not government supported, and they claim protection from any lawsuits or any liability whatsoever through Section 230.
Yes.
And they're absolutely totally arrogant about it.
Mm-hmm.
They'll block somebody, and they won't even tell them why.
Mm-hmm.
Say, nope, you violated our guidelines.
Yeah. It's kind of amazing, you know, here the narrative is about diversity, right? Well, diversity's out the door when it comes to their desire for conformity. So that's what this is all about. It's outcome-based, as we've been saying all morning long. And right now, the oligarchs are in charge. But I believe down the road, change is coming, Bruce. And we're talking with Bruce Thatcher, the celebrated author, one of my favorite historians. I always love it when we have Bruce on because I just can't take enough notes because we get down into it. As he says, the sad part about history is that we're supposed to learn from history, but we just keep repeating it. So we're just not good learners, I guess. Some of the books that Bruce has written, in fact, when we first met, I think you had just presented Adamant Aggressors.
Yeah.
Taking a look at, what was going on in the landscape and how that played out. And then, of course, followed up by Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work. And, of course, this is a book you need to bring off the shelf before it gets canceled like Dr. Seuss, and maybe get it to the Biden administration to open up their eyes that, hey, just because people are coming to the border with Biden T-shirts doesn't mean that your policies are right for America or even for them. And then, of course, a good dive into history, and that is the rise and decline, where we are, and what we can do about it. And we're here, talking about our country and what we're dealing with right now, Bruce. Bruce, I want you to finish your thought here before we went to break. Remember where we were at.
We are the major media and major online retailers, and of course we're talking Facebook and Google and LinkedIn and a couple of others, and we're talking Amazon and eBay. These are companies which enjoy, for a variety of reasons, a not only enormous power because of social conditions in this country, but also enormous exemption from any regulation. They do not have to account for anything. And so you sort of look at it and say, what's going to happen? What can we do about this? And I think, as I've given a little thought, I think that it is moving toward a reaction. If you look back at the history of the antitrust laws, for instance, back in the late 19th century and early 20th century, they didn't just get passed because some senator or representative said, gee, let's have a law that says this because I think that shouldn't happen. They got passed after a long 20, 30 years of effort, and finally the American public getting fed up and realizing that the laws, that the combinations they were seeking against, the price fixing and all the other things, were not good things. I think that's going to happen, and I think it's starting to happen here. You can see some discussion, even in the Congress, even among some liberals, that, well, maybe Section 230 is not a good idea quite so much anymore. And that conversation will continue, particularly if we somehow manage to keep it up in the headlines, and that's difficult.
The power brokers can't help themselves. The oligarchs, the big tech oligarchs, are just going to do what they do. So what I'm a little bit concerned about, even with past laws like this that have come about and change, is that it's all about emotion. And emotion, this is the emotional response. Okay, we've had enough of this. Let's get it out of there. But I think in the process where we're leading with emotion is that we fail to really appreciate the root cause. And I think that's what you're suggesting a bit here, is that lest we forget, why is it that we do not want to give these purveyors of controlled media and propaganda full control? Because they are compromising the intelligence of the American people. We are being fed only what it is that they want to feed us. Our brains are being conditioned on a worldview that is it's antithetical to liberty, isn't it?
It is antithetical. They are. It's the cancel culture. It is erasing a part of America. It's erasing the part of America that they don't like.
But Bruce, to interrupt you, and when I say it's erasing a part of our DNA and our very soul of who America is, that we fought for liberty, that we believe in liberty, that what that means in every aspect of our life. We cannot allow liberty to be constrained, you know, for a people group, for an idea. I mean, because once that starts to happen, you know, we're right now, we're fighting all these different battles, and what does it all come down to? I mean, you know, systemic racism and other discrepancies and social justice issues that just aren't fair. Well, you know, you can't just focus on one and let another go, and here are these oligarchs, these social media oligarchs, are rewriting the plan here, and we may win, we may win a little battle over here, but meanwhile, we're giving up the entire island for a little piece of the beach, if that makes sense.
It does make sense, and it gets to, I think, is the way we are educating our children. We're not educating them in the basic founding principles of this country, particularly liberty, the one most unique thing about America being it's founded on the basis of liberty, and that means that you have to allow lots of things, even thoughts and ideas and positions that you don't like. They have to be allowed.
Exactly.
And these power brokers, these media, these very arrogant personalities, and what it gets down to at the top is a handful of people who believe that they are the ones who know how things should be, and nobody else should be able to challenge their ideas. And they're unfettered. They're unfettered.
Well, again, and this is something I've been pushing since the election of 2020, is that we have to let go of some of these ideas and hit a reset. I mean, we're hearing talk of a reset. You know, and of course, the globalists are talking about a different reset that gives you a different agenda altogether.
Yeah.
I'm saying a reset to first principles, Bruce. These foundational principles that our country was born out of. We've had this narrative that's been somewhat lax and a bit accepting that somehow that we're supposed to trust the government, that we're supposed to trust Nancy Pelosi. Well, you know, I read in our founding documents, I don't read a trust in, you know, Benjamin Franklin or George Washington. I read in God we trust. That's what I read. I see that on our currency. In God we trust. That's who's backing up the foundation of our country. And we've let that go. We have surrendered God to the new modern age God, small g, of these, these political powers that are just absolutely stealing the very soul of America, and we're so compromised, and we have to see this loud and clear, and I believe a reset is coming. I said earlier today that what happens, you know, right now we're living in the world of, you know, fake news and fake everything. We got so much fake stuff going on and chaos and happening. But traditionally, and you know from history, is that will go for a certain period of time until people get tired of it. And then what you have after fake is you have the legitimate. The legitimate will come in because the truth always reigns. It always will have its day. And for those that have been the purveyors of fake everything, they're in for a day of reckoning because fake and lies and falsity is unsustainable.
But if we don't maintain the base of our founding principles,
yes,
and our faith,
yes,
in God,
mm-hmm,
if we don't maintain that, when that revolution comes and things do change, we won't have something to fill it with. We won't have power over what happens or control over what happens after that revolution comes.
Mm-hmm.
It'll get filled with whatever evolves out of a cloud of anarchy.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, certainly that's the threat, that this could be so disassembled. This is why Martin Luther King, when he was leading the civil rights movement, he wasn't about burning it all down. He was about reforming. And does America require, does it need reforming? I don't have a problem with that. Burning everything down like Antifa and what Black Lives Matter is proposing? I mean, because you're going to burn it all down. That's like the fundamental change. We're going to go through this fundamental change from what to what? You know, but we never got the to what. It was like, well, I can't tell you because, like Nancy Pelosi, I got to pass it to find out what's in it. You know, like Jack in the Box. Bruce Hatcher, the founder of History Speaks and author of Gun Mania. Thank you, Bruce.